Well, thus far in the story, we have seen from the Gospel of Luke, we have the story told from Mary's perspective. We have heard about the coming of the angel to Mary's cousin, her husband Zechariah, who was a priest in the temple serving, saying that his wife, who was barren and older, that she would bear a child, and that he would be John, and he would be the forerunner, the prophet in the mantle of Elijah, the forerunner of the Messiah. And Zechariah, who disbelieved and doubted, was struck silent for a whole 9 months. And he goes home, and his wife Elizabeth, she conceives and is carrying a child. Is in her 6th month when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says to her that she will conceive, even though she is a young virgin, she will conceive and bear a son. And she says, "How can this be with me? I am only a virgin." And he says to her, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the power of the Most High will come upon you, and the child to be born will be holy. He will be the Son of God." And now your cousin Elizabeth is in her 6th month of pregnancy. And last week we heard about how Mary goes to Ein Kerem, which is outside of Jerusalem in the hill country. She makes this long trip from Nazareth south, over 90 miles south there to Ein Kerem, to visit her cousin and to be with her for 3 months to care for her. And as she goes into Elizabeth's home, Elizabeth cries out with the Holy Spirit as John the Baptizer leaps in her womb and proclaims this, the mother of her Lord. And then Mary lets out with a beautiful song of Mary, adapting the song of Hannah to her own life and her own situation, her own circumstances, and proclaims that she, even though she is the lowest of the low, God has blessed her and brought her high. God has proclaimed her and has chosen her to be a vessel for Christ to be born. Which brings us to today. Up until now, we've heard the story from Mary's perspective, from the Gospel of Luke. The story is told by Mary or Mary's companions from her side of the family. Now we're going to hear the story from Joseph's side. We're going to hear it from the Gospel of Matthew, which picks up the story and tells it more from Joseph's side. It's almost as if the author of Luke's Gospel, as if Dr. Luke has interviewed Mary or talked to Mary's companions, whereas Matthew seems to know or have spoken with the family of Joseph, let us say, James, the brother of the Lord, who would have been an older adoptive brother of Jesus. We have the story from Joseph's side today. We have an angel coming to him too. But first, he has had a discovery. A disappointing discovery to him. One that disturbed him greatly, one which caused him much pain, much anguish, much fear. Because you see, up until now, he had simply been betrothed to this young woman, to this young virgin. In the Hebrew world, in the ancient time, the engagement was a public ceremony in which it was announced that this man and this woman would become married. But it was simply an engagement, a betrothal. And then for a year, or most of a year, following that betrothal, the woman would go back home and live with her family, either with her parents or other family members. She would stay with her family rather than living with her betrothed husband for most of a year. And then at the end of that period of time, he would then take her into his home, and they would, what's known as, consummate the marriage. And that would establish it and finalize it, and they would be married. Well, this has occurred. I mean, they've already been betrothed. She goes down to Ein Kerem to visit Elizabeth outside of Jerusalem and to spend 3 months with her after the angel has come and told her she's going to conceive. After she's already conceived, she makes this trip. And she stays 3 months. And now she's come home. And Joseph has discovered, it's been told to him, when she left, you know, she was just barely pregnant and wasn't visible, no one knew it. She comes home, she's 3 months, maybe even closer to 4 months in. She's pregnant. They haven't lived together, They're not yet married, they're simply engaged. And now the young virgin is pregnant. What am I going to do? Now, Joseph's responsibility under the law was clear. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, it says point blank what he's supposed to do. If a young virgin is discovered to be pregnant outside of marriage, then she and the man who got her pregnant are to be stoned to death. They are to be executed by stoning. If there is a little bit of an out for him here, if she's been raped, then the guy who rapes her gets stoned, but she is not punished. So he has a little bit of an out here if that can be determined. Also, the law does call for mercy. And as the story today in Matthew's gospel makes clear, when he finds out that she is pregnant, it says that he was a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, to public shame, to taking the approach of, well, she was raped. Maybe it happened on the road to Ian Karim or the road back, or certainly the road to Ian Karim because she's too far in. So it happened that way, and then, you know, since it was out of the city, it was out of town, she couldn't stop it, she had no control over it, but it's still disgraceful. Rather than expose her to that kind of shame, to that public disgrace, Matthew says that Joseph planned to dismiss her quietly. The term dismiss here means to put her away, to send her away, to send her back home, or to send her where she could bear this child with no one knowing what has happened or how the child was conceived outside of the marriage covenant. That's what he's determined to do. A righteous man, he should follow the law, which means stone her. But he's taking the out that Deuteronomy also allows, and in rather exposing her to disgrace, he's simply going to send her away. And he's made up his mind that this is what he's going to do. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." It would be a violation of the law for him to do this. She's been tainted. She is now pregnant outside of the marriage covenant with him. She had an engagement to him, even if she had been raped. He needed to let her go. "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins." Wow. This angel comes just as he's decided to put her away and says, "Don't put her away. You keep her as your wife. You take her into your home as your wife. She is conceived a child by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are to name him Yeshua, for he will save the people." His people, God's people, from their sins. Now, Yeshua in Hebrew means Yahweh delivers. Yahweh is God's personal name. Yahweh delivers. Yahweh saves. Yahweh is deliverer. Yahweh delivers us. All of these are possible meanings and true meanings for the name Yeshua. We translate Yeshua usually into English as, in the Old Testament, as Joshua. And that's what it means. That's what Jesus' name means. Yahweh delivers. God saves. His name describes what he does. I can imagine Joseph waking up in stunned disbelief and yet amazement. at the revelation of the angel that his betrothed had been chosen by God to bear the Christ, the Messiah, the God delivers us child into this world. And that he is to take this child as his own, give this child his own name. Because that was Jesus' name. Yeshua ben Yosef Nazianzus. Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth. Give him his name. Adopt him as his own. That took courage, my friends. Courage, first of all, because the law told him what he was supposed to do. He had an out. He was going to take that out. But that out required that he put that girl away. And instead, he decided to take that child into his own family. Take that child into his own life. Accept God's calling upon him too, as Mary had accepted it upon her. And receive this wonderful gift from God. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew provides some interpretation and application here. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Well, I don't remember Jesus ever being called Emmanuel during his life. This here is an application. It is how he is to be described. It is how his office of ministry, it is how his identity is interpreted. The Yeshua, Yahweh delivers us, is in fact God is with us. The God who is with us. The God who abides with us. The God who is with us, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, by the very breath of God. In Hebrew, the word breath and spirit are the same. Ruach, it means to breathe. And when God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living spirit, that was the Holy Spirit of God moving into Adam. Likewise, when God breathed this miracle upon Mary and the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and the power of the Most High came upon her, within her womb, Jesus was conceived. In a miraculous event that we cannot comprehend, Jesus was conceived. This breath of God, this presence of God, this God with us, this Emmanuel now comes to be with us, to abide with us and within us. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. They did not consummate the marriage publicly or privately. He simply took her into his family, completed the betrothal, took her into his family, and then claimed the son as his own. That is what he did. In obedience to the calling of God given to him through the angel. In obedience to the calling of God given to him by the angel, he received the greatest gift that we will ever receive. He received the Christ child and adopted this Christ child as his own. Just as we have been adopted by God through Jesus Christ, our brother, so also now we are given the opportunity to take upon ourselves by grace and faith the life and the presence of the Christ child into our very selves, as Mary did. To take this gift that's been given to us as Joseph did, proclaim him as our own, our Lord and our Savior, and then give him to others. The body of Christ, the church, without regards to denomination, the body of Christ, the church, this congregation, has one calling, one vision, and one mission: to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world means proclaiming that love of God which was present in that baby, which was present in her womb, which was present in the proclamation that Joseph made when he named this child Yeshua, Yahweh delivers, Yahweh saves. To take this message of the love of God, the unconditional, never-ending, eternal love of God, and share it with others, share it with all. For over 2,000 years, that love of God has been shared and proclaimed by the people of God, first during his life and ministry, his death and resurrection, and then as the church in his presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called as the body of Christ to share the love of God without limit, without restriction, without exception, to all. There is not a single person, either here today, in this town, in this county, in this state, in this nation, or on this planet, or in orbit above it, there is not a single person that God does not love. And that love was demonstrated for us in God giving his son Jesus to be among us, to be Emmanuel, God with us, to be Jesus, Yeshua, God delivers. That love was demonstrated to all of us without exception. And we as the church are called to share that love with all. The life-giving, love-giving, spirit-giving love of God with all, without exception. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of Easter. That's the message of Pentecost. That is the message not just of every Sunday of the church year. It is the message of every day of our lives. We are called to proclaim the good news of the love of God for all, without exception. That is our mission. That is our vision. That is our calling. It's a message we've been proclaiming here since long before I ever came. The message I've been proclaiming during my ministry here is the unconditional love of God is that which we are to share with all, without exception, through every word and every deed. Through every class we teach, every worship service we have, through every meal we serve, every food basket we give out, through every mission trip that we take, through every hymn that is sung, through every children's program that we present, through every hymn or anthem the choir sings, through every liturgy we proclaim, through every Eucharist we celebrate, we proclaim the love of God for all. The gift that Joseph received, that Mary received, we receive in the indwelling presence of Jesus, and we are called without exception, without limitation, eternally to share that love with all. That's the countdown of Advent, friends. We begin with hope, we follow through with love, with joy, and now in peace, proclaiming the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord to a broken and hurting world. It is the message of the church. It is the message we have all been called to proclaim. And it is the message and the deed that I believe we should be called to proclaim, not just this year, not just yet next year, but every year that follows. We are called to proclaim this love. This forgiving love, this life-transforming love of God with all. On Christmas Eve, you are invited to come, celebrate his birth, receive the beautiful grace in worship, in song, in prayer, in scripture, in preaching, in the Holy Eucharist, in fellowship together. celebrate it on Sunday, and share it every day with all. The Christmas message isn't just for today or Saturday or Sunday. The Christmas message isn't just for Advent and Christmas. It's not just for Easter. It's for every day throughout all eternity. The love of God is to be offered without conditions to all. Just as God offered the love of God to us in Jesus Christ, without conditions, calling us to respond in faith and enter into that amazing relationship that we are privileged to have, that we are blessed to have with God in Jesus Christ. May you be blessed this Christmas. May you be blessed as we close out this year. And as we enter into 2017, may our mission and our vision be rooted deeply in sharing this wonderful gift that we have received with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence,
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.